Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm starting to really like the introductions from Gary. I think we might need to get a new line item in our budget next year so I can take him with me. He can introduce me every time I walk into a room. With the envelopes, too. Those are good. So it's good to be here. In some ways, usurping the pulpit from Koshy in his absence, but it's good to be here. I want to begin by thanking all of the members of the St. Peter's Mission Committee for their support over the years and for all the hard work they've done to put together the fundraiser last night. And specifically, I want to thank our hosts, Cindy and Mark Hammaker. For all of you who are not familiar with Crystal Cell, we're an Episcopal human rights organization. We believe that human rights are an expression of our faith, that having been created in God's image, we are all equal in rights and dignity. Crystal Cell inherited its mission from El Salvador's martyred archbishop, the saint of the Americas, Oscar Romero. Romero preached that we as Christians are called to defend the human rights of all citizens and should maintain a special preference for the poor, the weak, and the marginalized. We should promote the development of all human beings and be the critical conscience of society. The members of St. Peter's Mission Committee here are a persistent group. So unless this is your first time attending St. Peter's, I'm sure you've heard something about El Salvador. It's the smallest of the Central American republics, and it's affectionately referred to as El Pulgarcito, the tiny flea of Central America. There are just over 6 million Salvadorans in El Salvador, and just fewer than 3 million Salvadorans living in the United States. In poetry, Salvadorans are remembered as the ones from which no one ever knows where they are from. Eternally undocumented, the do-it-alls, the sell-it-alls, the eat-it-alls, the first to take out the knife. For me, what is remarkable about the country is the resilient faith of the people and a vision of justice. The country's recent history is marked by courageous men and women who, oftentimes at great risk to their own safety, have acted to build a more peaceful and just society. St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Phoenixville is one of Crystal Cell's oldest and closest friends. Our partnership with St. Peter's has grown and evolved since we first met as an organization grown and evolved. In this sense, I think we've grown together. In previous visits at St. Peter's, I focused my comments on our community development program. We've discussed together at length how our program implements a unique rights-based approach to community development. That approach seeks to build capacities of the poor and excluded to exercise their rights as equals in their society. St. Peter's earliest financial commitments to Crystal Cell, however, were focused on the establishment of our human rights office. And today I want to talk a little bit about the story of that program. Since 2006, together with the Episcopal Church of El Salvador, Crystal Cell's Human Rights Office has been responsible for the execution of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees Partner Program in El Salvador. The program's mandate was to provide assistance to non-Salvadorans seeking asylum and refugee status in El Salvador. Through our experience in this program, Crystal Cell has had a unique window into a largely invisible yet unprecedented humanitarian and human rights crisis unfolding in Central America. Starting 4 years ago, we began to receive at our office an increasing number of Salvadorans fleeing from violence perpetrated primarily by gangs and organized criminal groups. Last year, 150 families came to our office seeking asylum or refugee status outside of the country. Over the summer, many North Americans became aware of the extreme levels of violence and forced displacement in the region through the arrival of tens of thousands of unaccompanied children to our southern border. In June, President Obama warned that in our country there is a refugee and humanitarian crisis. For several weeks, the thousands of Central American children in detention centers across the country fixed America's attention on Central America to a degree that hasn't been seen since the 1980s when the region was engulfed in civil war. The stories out of El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala filled the headlines over the summer, and I was reminded of a quote of one of my favorite authors and journalists, Mark Danner. He wrote that Americans tend to learn about the world only during times of crisis. Like a great searchlight, the power of America's attention wheels about and focuses, illuminating on some dark place, holding it, trembling in captivity, like a startled deer. And so, he says, over the past decades, almost despite ourselves, Americans have come to know many far-off and unlikely places. One of the unique experiences of being in partnership with St. Peter's is that St. Peter's has learned about El Salvador through long-term accompaniment and not through a fleeting media cycle. The truth, however, about the President's humanitarian and refugee crisis is that the President mistakenly placed it on our southern border, when in fact what was unfolding there in Texas was only symptomatic of a deeper humanitarian crisis in Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. The homicide rate in El Salvador, for example, is the fourth highest in the world. Since the end of the Civil War in 1992, 73,000 people have been killed, a rate that is close to the estimated death toll during the Civil War itself. The principal victims of homicide in El Salvador are young males between the ages of 15 and 35. The rate of homicide among women, however, has tripled in the last decade, reaching a rate of 17.4 for every 100,000 people. That is the highest femicide rate in the world. El Salvador also has, unfortunately, the highest child homicide rate in the world, reaching levels of 21 for every 100,000 citizens. These two statistics together mean that for Salvadoran women and children, they are among the most likely in the world to suffer violent death. The state's response to these extraordinary levels of violence in El Salvador have been ineffective and focused on repressive military and penal approaches, largely ignoring the humanitarian needs of the victims. For thousands of Salvadorans, there are few options for safety in El Salvador. Families looking for safety are forced to flee their homes, and these are the people who have come to our office looking for help. At first, many are displaced internally inside the country, seeking protection. When they don't find it, they're forced to cross the borders, the majority contracting human traffickers, primarily fleeing to the United States. At the end of last year, like I said, we received 150 families in these conditions. We felt a moral obligation as an organization to do something to help the people who were knocking at our doors. At the end of last year, we made the decision to begin to design a specialized program to provide attention to the victims of persecution by organized crime and forced displacement. This process began by consulting other colleagues from human rights and humanitarian organizations around El Salvador. We talked with state agencies, we talked with international agencies from the United Nations. The conversations were revealing. The Ombudsman for Human Rights, for example, told us that he feels impotent to do anything to protect the victims. Our friends from other organizations all confirmed the situations that we were observing, but warned that they had been afraid to get involved because the problem might be too big. The Minister for Justice and Security expressed a similar fear. When we told him we wanted to build a program to provide a specialized attention, he warned us to be careful. That problem might just be too big to deal with. The problem of violence and forced displacement in El Salvador is no doubt too big for Cristosal to deal with alone. It is likely that it's a problem that's too big for the Salvadoran government to deal with alone. But we believe that the overwhelming size of the problem is not a reason to do nothing. And so rather suddenly, Cristosal has become a leader nationally on the issue of victims' protection and forced displacement. Out of our consultation process and assessment of the situation, we designed a project to build a national system for protection of the victims. Our goal is to create a couple pilot projects that can be scaled into a national and international policy. The projects are designed to activate state and international resources that set a new precedent for victims' protection in Central America. The project proposal has four key components. First of all, Cristosal has organized a group of our colleagues from other human rights and humanitarian organizations in El Salvador for the purpose of systematizing the existing data that we have available on forced displacement, developing a central and uniform documentation system to monitor forced displacement, and to develop a map of national resources available for the protection of victims. We hope to use this group to work collectively on advocacy issues and present public policy proposals to the government and the international community. Our second proposal is the establishment of a national observatory to monitor and research forced displacement in El Salvador. This will be the first study of its kind in El Salvador, and we think it will be an indispensable tool to measure the full impact of forced displacement and inform the creation of comprehensive national strategy to and the design of new solutions. The study will be an important way for us to also begin to visibilize and create an evidence base to establish definitively that this is a problem, because up to this point, the Salvadoran government and the international community have not recognized forced displacement in Central America. In partnership with the Ombudsman's Office for Human Rights, we have also designed a proposal for the establishment of the first ever Center for Protection for Victims in El Salvador. There are currently no shelters available for families escaping violence, and families in imminent danger desperately need a safe place to analyze their options and ultimately make life and death decisions. Crystal Sal will work with government and civil society partners to build a Center for Emergency Protection of the Victims of Forced Displacement. The center will be an opportunity for us to help victims create options besides human trafficking to safeguard their lives. The fourth proposal that we have put on the table is to establish within the Episcopal Church of Central America a refugee resettlement network in countries in Central America with safer security situations like Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and Panama. The refugee resettlement network will be an opportunity to protect and relocate refugees fleeing from violence in El Salvador. The network will serve as a direct resource for emergency cases presented at the center. Most importantly, the network will set a regional precedent for government and civil society cooperation by providing humanitarian assistance to the victims of violent crime. We think that what we can do through this refugee network is also demonstrate that it's more economic to respect the rights of refugees and give them humanitarian assistance than it is to constantly continue this paradigm of capturing immigrants at the border and deporting them. We're building a support network for these proposals within the United States government and Salvadoran governments. We've talked with think tanks, churches, and the international community at large. At the same time, we're working quickly to build our own institutional capacities to assume our role as a national and regional leader on this issue and implement these projects. In this process, we are lucky to welcome a new member to our staff in El Salvador, Celia Medrano. Celia began her career in human rights during the Salvadoran Civil War. She became the director of the Salvadoran Human Rights Commission overnight when paramilitaries killed the existing leadership. At age 23, she assumed this dangerous and difficult task, and she is a well-recognized human rights defender in El Salvador. She is currently the Director of Human Rights and Humanitarian Affairs for the Salvadoran Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and she has served as the Consulate General in Washington. Celia has worked extensively on issues of violence prevention and peace in Central America, and she'll join our team in November. To meet these great challenges and implement these important projects, we have asked our partners in the United States to join us in a fundraising campaign in which we hope to raise $35,000 by the end of this year. These funds will be essential to help us expand our organizational capacities, and I am personally grateful to all of you, our loyal and committed friends at St. Peter's, who have already responded to this call. We have an important role to play together to address one of the largest human rights and humanitarian challenges on our continent. And I know that St. Peter's and Crystal Sal will confront this in the same way we always have, in accompaniment, together. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Amen.